Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the final buzzer sounds, we're here to wrap it up.
Why not? Here's Steph Curry!
It's time for Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7. The game. Warriors Wrap Up is presented by Realtor.com, the home of home search.
Well, it was a wild one tonight.
Wild one.
A ball game that was the longest game of the year at Chase Center, and the longest game now in Chase Center history, because everything that happens this year, it becomes the first and the longest.
Yeah.
And the Warriors, Steve Kerr made a lineup change. They played their best defensive game of the year. The fans were into it.
Yes.
Like, there was a nice byplay of Warriors fans and a smattering of Celtics fans that were into it. So a tremendous Friday night energy in the building, and the Warriors had a chance to win this ball game late, but ultimately turnovers and the inability to knock down threes did the Warriors in this ball game as they lose 105-100 to the Boston Celtics. Two teams going in opposite directions as the Warriors now have lost their sixth consecutive game to fall to 2-11, and Boston's now won 10 in a row.
Ooh.
To improve to
a lot of Boston fans in the house this evening.
Yeah, there really were, which I thought made for a pretty good atmosphere. And I thought the Warriors fans that were here were really vibing on the underdog role in the game. And the edgy, chippy fight that the Warriors were showing against a team that came in and leaves with the best record in the NBA, it added to the atmosphere of this ball game tonight. So it was a lot of fun, even though we were talking about competitive losses, Whitey, and there's levels to competitive losses.
We may talk about that more as this season.
Well, and I said, hey, I didn't love I wouldn't have put the Jazz game and the Lakers game on the same level as some of the games on the road trip. Minnesota game, Oklahoma City game, even the San Antonio game in this building, going back a couple of weeks ago. But tonight is, if you're grading or you're ranking your highly competitive losses, this is right up there. This is an A.
Yes.
This is an A for the Warriors tonight.
3:34 left in the contest. Kai Bowman with a putback. Gave the Warriors a 93-92 lead, and the place went nuts. Timeout, Celtics. And I think in some ways, Kai Bowman's putback for the lead, it epitomized what this Warrior team is right now at its best. Now, I know they came up short, and give the Celtics credit in that fourth quarter. As you mentioned, fourth quarter, the Warriors made 1 of 8 threes, and Boston made 4 of 7. Boston didn't shoot the ball very well tonight, but they saved some of their best offense for last. Kemba had, 14 of his 20 in the fourth quarter, and that's what the better teams do. That's what the good teams do, but it was a very entertaining game. I'm wondering, 888-957-9570, do you see growth? This is a year about development, right? We know there are going to be a lot of losses. There's going to be a lot of mistakes. There's going to be a lot of missed shots. There's going to be a lot of, oh, my goodness, I can't believe he did that. But this is a year about development. So do you see growth? Pardon me. Do you see development? And if so, where? You pointed out the new starting lineup got off to a great start tonight.
Yeah, and it really set, I think, more of a defensive tone. And when the Warriors weren't turning the ball over, they were in control of the game for a good portion of the night, especially early on in the ball game, first quarter and down the stretch when they built that lead that you mentioned. It is John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason. It's Warriors Wrap Up, brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. And you hear it as you listen here to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. All in all, though, it is a loss, and the Warriors now will hit the road for the next four with a 2-11 record, which is the worst record in the NBA. We also have a couple of injury updates we should get to right off the top. D'Angelo Russell, x-rays negative on that right thumb that he was getting worked on, didn't come back into the game. X-ray's negative. He's undergoing an MRI, and we'll have results on the MRI tomorrow.
Fingers crossed, but he's a lefty. The good Lord gave you two thumbs for a reason, so hopefully he's okay.
Exactly. And Eric Paschal came into the press conference tonight, ice all over his right hand. Now, he left the game, was getting tended to on the sideline by trainers, and then re-entered the game and did finish the ball game for the Warriors. But Paschal told reporters downstairs, and we will hear from Eric Paschal coming up later on in the show, it's not broken or anything, just a jam. They took X-rays. So all in all, good news, but he did walk in icing that baby down.
Yeah, hopefully D'Angelo Russell is obviously recovered fully as quickly as possible. You know, there were three guys who sat out this game tonight, three different players who sat out with broken hands, which was just kind of an odd backdrop. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty unusual. One of the things that really stands out, we talk and talk and talk about how bad this Warrior defense is. We talked on the pregame about how the Warriors defense has been almost historically bad. Well, tonight, Steve Kerr mentioned that the new starting lineup brought a lot of more defensive energy. Boston, and they had to go like the Dickens or the Dickinson, pardon me, in the fourth quarter to get up to 40.7% shooting for the night. That's the number one offensive rated team coming into this game, Boston, number one in the NBA in offensive rating, and they barely cleared 40%. So the Warriors did a lot right offensively, even allowing for perhaps it was a night where Boston had trouble knocking down shots. The Warriors deserve a lot of credit defensively tonight.
And they bottled up Kemba Walker for a good portion of the game. Now, he did what he had to do late, but, I mean, there were a number of different times where I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, wow, they just forced him into taking a bad shot. Some bad shots he took kind of on his own, just looking to maybe force the action because he couldn't get into a rhythm. Now, look, down the stretch, Kemba Walker the last few years has been as good as anybody in the league at taking over games in the fourth quarter. And in the final couple of minutes, he hit some big shots for the Celtics to where they ultimately prevailed in the game. But I think for the most part early, a big reason the Warriors were successful in setting up their opportunity to win the game was the fact that they were able to keep Kemba Walker out of the action. I mean, Jason Tatum kind of brought the Celtics back in that second quarter after the Warriors had built a 15-point lead.
This is such a departure for the Warriors, who for years, you know, we've had the Splash Brothers, and Steph Curry helped change the game, helped to start the evolution, the perimeter game evolution, started the trend where teams rely more and more on threes. And in fact, the NBA this year is on track to set another record for most three-pointers attempted. The Warriors, though, this team right now, on nights like tonight, they're almost better off not shooting a lot of threes. What'd they finish for the night? 5 for 28. And I think they shot over 50% for the night on their twos. But they just 5 for 28 on threes. This team really struggles from beyond the arc at times. And as I mentioned, 1 for 8 in the fourth quarter beyond the arc. But they did get to the line a lot.
Well, they got to the line a lot.
A lot.
And getting to the line, and they were in the penalty early in the fourth quarter as well tonight.
Yes,
which gave
very
them
early
an opportunity to, you know, there were a couple of quick Celtics fouls that allowed the Warriors to get to the line and really just, you know, not have to play offense against a Celtics team that can be pretty good defensively, you know, in situations where Boston really needed a stop. So that helped the Warriors kind of stem the tide a little bit in that fourth quarter and, again, get to where they had a chance to win this ball game tonight against a team with the best record in the NBA.
Without question, we all know D'Angelo Russell is the Warriors' most skilled player by far, their best scorer right now. But I thought it was interesting to watch them play without him, and they played a much more democratic style, which, you know, he's a lot of fun to watch. But when the Warriors are sharing the ball, the way they were as they did after he left, that's a fun style to watch as well.
Yeah, it is a fun style to watch, and I'm looking at Kai Bowman, Alec Burks, Eric Paschal, Draymond Green, and Willie Cauley-Stein. That was the finishing lineup for the Golden State Warriors tonight, with Jordan Poole no longer in the starting lineup. And Alec Burks, Poole wasn't even the first man into the game tonight. It was Alec Burks when Paschal picked up a couple of quick early fouls.
Burks was the leading scorer tonight, right?
And Kai Bowman, and Kai Bowman was somebody that, again, he's provided a little bit of an edge in his minutes and a tenacity and an energy that I think has been a little bit infectious toward his teammates, which has been, you know, something to see. And look, I mean, the Warriors are better with D'Angelo Russell, but the reality is they may be looking at a scenario where they might have to play a couple of more games again without D'Angelo Russell, and it would shift Kai Bowman back to the forefront where, you know, you go back now, there's levels to the different injuries that the Warriors have had and the different groups they've had to play with. You know, they had that 3-4 game stretch where it was Kai Bowman and that was it as far as the point guards went, and they were able to be competitive in those games.
Yeah, right now they're so shorthanded, you don't have a lot of options, right? Steve Kerr before the game was asked about Jordan Poole, and he said, well, he's going to have to play because we just don't have anybody. That said, if we get to the point where you have options, I'd almost rather see Kai Bowman play more than Jordan Poole right now. I don't know what the word is. Worried isn't the word. Jordan Poole right now is 1-for-8 tonight. I think he missed all 5 of his 3-pointers, and he really is hurting them at both ends, and I don't think it's a coincidence that they got off to a much better start tonight without him in the starting lineup. I don't wish him any ill will, but he looks at times lost out there. When he cranks up the 3-pointer, it looks like he has no idea where it's going.
Yeah, and I think, you know, confidence is something that he came in to, he had an abundance of coming into
Absolutely.
The league, and I think even his confidence is a little bit shaken right now.
When they go after him defensively too, you know, and that doesn't help your confidence.
I mean, in today's day and age, it's who's the weak link, right? Among a group of five, and teams attack, and teams do attack, and the Celtics did attack when he was in the game, coming off the bench, although not the first guy in as he had been. Yeah, I was curious, in part, less about Jordan Poole and more about Eric Paschal playing the 3 with Draymond at the 4. That's something that
it's your lineup, JD.
Intrigues me.
Yeah, I know. For weeks you've been wanting to see
more of that. I threw it out
there
half jokingly, and then I started thinking about it, and it's like, well, if Jordan Poole's struggling, why not take a little bit off of his plate? Why not lessen his role a little bit and go bigger at the guard with Glenn Robinson the 3rd, and then have Paschal and Draymond Green play the 3 and the 4, respectively, play a traditional center with that group, and then you've got D'Angelo Russell is the other guy there. So the Warriors did do that tonight. They did get off to a better start with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at some point, even though the Warriors, you know, finished this game basically with 9 healthy bodies again, and it looked like it might have even been 8 at some point if Paschal didn't come back, I think at some point, Whitey, even though they're in need of bodies, Jordan Poole's struggling to a point where you got to take it easy on him. You got to let him catch his breath. You got to allow him a little bit of a respite from not having success.
I did think that there were a couple of times tonight, in particular, two that come to mind. Instances in which Steve Kerr seemed more willing than he had been for much of this year to take a young player out immediately after a bad mistake. And it seemed to me that to this point, he's been very patient. Hey, young players, you know, they're going to make mistakes. But Marquese Chriss made a terrible pass tonight.
Oh, yeah.
He tried, I think it was
a half dribble handoff. It was a half dribble handoff.
And he wasn't even looking where the ball was going, and it led to a bust out, and he took him right out of the game. And I think Poole early on either took a bad shot or committed a bad foul or both, and they took him right out of the game as well. So it looks like maybe Steve Kerr is realizing a shorter leash is actually going to be helpful for these players to learn. You don't do that. You can't get better if you're just allowed to make mistake after mistake.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, Warriors Wrap-Up, brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of Home Search. Warriors fall tonight to the Celtics, 105-100. Boston improves to 10-1. The Warriors hit the road as they will take on the Pelicans and the Grizzlies and the Mavs and the Utah Jazz, the next 4 away from Chase Center with the Dubs not back.
Big win for the Grizzlies tonight.
On the hardwood here until a week from Monday. So it's 10 days for the Warriors in between home games. And, yeah, the Grizzlies beat Utah tonight.
Wow.
At home late. Got a couple of big defensive stops in the waning seconds of that one to salt it away.
There were a handful of really close and competitive games tonight, some thrillers, and we didn't have a buzzer beater here, of course, but a very, very competitive contest at Chase Center with the Celtics struggling to sneak past the Warriors 105-100. Who saw that coming? I didn't.
No, competitive effort, the first of a West Coast swing for the Celtics, as they'll head to Sacramento, and they're going to Phoenix and Denver. I think they play the Clippers at some point on that stretch.
Sacramento, your Kings almost beat the Lakers tonight.
The Kings, they battled after an 0-5 start. They're battling a little bit, and Boston will get them on Sunday. We've got the call of the game coming up here before we get out of here at midnight. We've also got our dirty work dub of the game and Whitey's pluses
absolutely.
And minuses.
Yeah, you've been very harsh on those.
Really? I don't believe so. I think it's fair. It's fair.
Okay.
Fair
and tough balanced. But fair? All
tough
right.
but fair.
Okay.
Tough but fair. I just, you know, tonight I'm feeling good, though. Tonight I'm feeling much more, I think, positive about the effort. About,
all right.
There was a good energy, good effort, you know, fun atmosphere out here tonight. And I think, you know, the more you take away from this Warriors team, the more credit I think you have to give them for small victories.
How would you answer the question? Do you see growth? Are you seeing development? If so, where are you? I know it's very early here still, very early. Are there any particular areas in which you're seeing development already?
I mean, they did get better defensively tonight.
Yeah, they sure did.
Now, I don't think we know.
We know they've been working very hard
as
a team.
What's the extent of that? Is it one game? Was it the Celtics had an off night? Does it carry forward to the next game in New Orleans or the next couple of games in New Orleans and Memphis and Dallas? So I mean, we don't really know, but for one night, it was the Warriors. You know, Draymond Green said it. Steve Kerr said it. It was their best defensive game of the season. Individual development is where I'm maybe not seeing as much, or it's a little bit harder to identify. I think if you start going through player by player by player, I mean, I think Eric Paschal continues to get better.
Right.
But, you know, you roll up and down the lineup. I mean, Alec Burks has been a nice find, you know, but is that development?
But he's a veteran. He's
exactly.
played for years and years.
So you don't file Alec Burks under that category. And I think, you know, Amari Spellman brings energy. Marquise Chris has been kind of up and down. You know, Kai Bowman was up and down tonight, but
he's
really
fearless.
Up and down the stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got an edge and an attitude that I think is perfect for this particular, you know, version of the Golden State Warriors, given the situation that they're in. So I think, you know, the more he plays, the better he will become. Ultimately, though, what is he? I don't think we know. But other than that, I mean, that's the one thing, Whitey, and maybe you can help me with this. What is the definition of development for this Golden State Warriors team? Because they do have some young players, but they're young veterans, and they're young veterans that may or may not totally figure into the future. It's one thing to say, all right, Paschal this. It's another thing to say Jordan Poole that. You know, Kai Bowman could be something. And then, okay, maybe you get Jacob Evans back in the fold in the next couple of weeks. But I'm finding it hard to find the individual development among players that you believe are going to be here moving forward.
Right. I think you have to take the wider view of it. Obviously, we are wondering about these individuals, but it's clear that what the Warriors are thinking they need to do. I mean, they added to the player development staff this offseason, right? It's clear that this is an area of emphasis. So they want to be a team like the Spurs that every year they're drafting guys at other teams really don't think that highly of, and they're able to turn those guys into rotational players. How many of those guys are on this roster? I don't know. Maybe Kai Bowman's an example. Paschal seems like he could be an example of a guy that other teams didn't think too highly of, but that's the goal, is to become Spurs-like in your ability to draft players that that you are able to develop into rotational players that maybe other teams didn't think of in those terms during the draft.
You know, one that is an obvious one that I probably should have mentioned is Russell. I mean, I think D'Angelo Russell, he still is young enough to fall into the category of can continue to develop.
But his game is so clearly defined, isn't it?
I don't disagree with you, but I do think it's apparent
that in his mind, he is that type of player.
It is, but he's gotten better. And look, maybe it's the circumstances. Maybe it's the fact that you took Stephen Curry away and it basically by default became his team when he's on the floor. And it's him and it's some other guys that are of similar talent, not to him but to each other. And he's got to go if this team is going to go. And so I think maybe that's been the reason for it. But I do think he's more comfortable now than he was those first handful of games of the season, and I think he may wind up being more comfortable and a better player for being around the Warriors organization by the end of this season. So
yeah.
I think, you know, it may be more the context of can they get the best or a certain version out of him in the years to come that fits what they want to do, that I do think you can categorize as player development.
I was down on Russell tonight and then come to find out, of course, that he sprained his thumb. So, okay, maybe I judged him too harshly.
Nine turnovers.
That's it.
In 25 minutes is
not
good.
Like you, I played point guard at a high level, you know, Hogan High School. And Coach Stevenson, you know, nine turnovers. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't play for a week. So you see your point guard turn the ball over nine times. And not just the total, which is a terrible total, but he had some dreadful turnovers tonight. Throwing the ball to Draymond and missing him by, you know, 30 feet. I'm assuming that the bad thumb had something to do with some of the terrible, terrible passes he threw out of bounds. He looked like DeShone Kizer.
Not
at all.
I mean, anytime you have a nine turnover game,
no,
that's not good. And again, I mean, you say a lot of times you're turning over that much, you're not playing as much. I mean, D'Angelo Russell played 25 minutes, he had nine turnovers. And you're right, we don't know the extent of.
I'm going to assume that the thumb had something to do with some of those dreadful passes.
Right. And just not feeling himself. I know when Draymond Green was dealing with the finger issues, he had some questionable turnovers.
Sure.
And then it comes out, you know, a couple of days later, he's like, hey, you know, that's probably why I was dribbling the way I was dribbling, or that's probably why I threw this pass, that wound up being a turnover. So you do learn more as we move, you know, forward in things. And when they were working on that thumb, I had the same thought as you. Like, okay, maybe there is something a little bit more to this.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of younger players and development, Draymond obviously is a guy that we think of as being totally developed. But it's really interesting to me to watch him not only adapt to his new teammates, but for the Warriors to figure out what his role is on this team and to see how he embraces it and expands upon it, shooting more threes. Where is he going to run the offense? Because he doesn't have the same offense around him. And how is that going to apply to next year? I think that's been really interesting to watch Draymond adapt to the circumstances and adapt his game in ways that, as I say, we may see more of next year as well.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason. Warriors wrap-up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. We're going to hear from Draymond Green and Eric Paschal. We've also got our call of the game coming up, Whitey's pluses and minuses, and much, much more as we are with you here until midnight from Chase Center. Warriors fall to the Celtics 105-100. You heard it here tonight on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason inside Chase Center. Oh, about an hour and a half ago, the Warriors fell to the Boston Celtics 105-100 as Golden State now 2-11, their sixth consecutive defeat. Boston, they improved to an NBA best 10-1 as they will continue their road trip in Sacramento on Sunday afternoon. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We're also going to hear from Draymond Green here momentarily, as well as Whitey's pluses and minuses.
Yes, and I have a question for you. Remember when Charlotte came in here and the Warriors nearly beat him, and Terry Rozier, the former Celtic, he said, you know, I don't think we really came in here and, as focused as we needed to be. Do you think perhaps it happened to Boston tonight?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And look, the Warriors have been on the end of every team's maximum effort for years.
Right.
Because they've been the champions and the defending champions and the team that was trying to become the champions after they, you know, didn't win the one year they didn't win in 2016. And so they've been on that end of that level of competitiveness from lesser teams.
Right.
4 years.
I know.
So I think it's just natural, honestly.
I think it was a couple weeks ago, Rick Bucher, and we know Rick Bucher, no problem with Rick Bucher, but he had a story in which an anonymous Western Conference player was talking about how badly he wanted to beat the Warriors now, and I thought that was a big nothing burger. It's like, yeah, okay, I get it, but of course players feel that way.
Yeah, they do. I think you would have still, and we talked about this a little bit in the beginning of the season, if Stephen Curry and Draymond Green were playing without Durant being here anymore, without Klay Thompson healthy, maybe without, you know, with or without D'Angelo Russell, but I think that's where the Warriors were almost caught in between from they were going to get a lot of the max efforts, those two guys in particular, because I think there was some sense among players, and you've heard it, whether it's jealousy or whatever you want to say, where it's that belief of, okay, Draymond, let's see how you do without three other All-Stars.
Yeah, let's see your shimmy now, Steph. Yeah.
Let's see how you do without three other All-Stars. So I think there was still that level of vitriol that would come at the Warriors that
right.
has been wiped away because
natural,
Steph isn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Draymond's hurt, and I mean, you look at the, I mean, we read off the lineup for crying out loud. I mean, the Warriors at the end of this game are playing Kai Bowman, Alec Burks, Eric Paschal, Draymond Green, and Willie Cauley-Stein. I don't think, you know, I do think it's going to be more likely than not that teams are going to come in here and they maybe aren't going to give the best effort knowing that they can win a game in a similar fashion to the way the Celtics did. Now, the thing is, teams that do that, you're going to get bit every once in a while. And we saw Portland get bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, as the Warriors get healthier and as they continue to progress and play better throughout the course of the season, more teams that come in here that have that attitude are going to get bit more frequently.
Portland's not going to lose another game now that they have Carmelo Anthony. But that's a different story for a different day.
Yeah. Yikes. That may be a Warriors This Week topic tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, because you and I are back tomorrow.
Wait, what?
Yes. Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning, as in
great.
I mean, 9 hours and 26 minutes from now.
All right, I look forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down, Carmelo.
Yeah,
Anthony.
No, that's good. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Warriors
Portland
This Week.
Portland, I think, has won one game since they were here.
They don't look good. Yeah. Their house is not in order, and Carmelo's not going to save them.
2 weeks ago. And that was, yeah, so they're in a bad, bad way. Let's go ahead and hear from Draymond Green before we get to Whitey's pluses and minuses here. Draymond Green speaking downstairs in the Bill King interview room following the Warriors' loss to the Celtics. Here's Draymond.
Draymond, you guys had a little lineup change tonight, you and Eric up front. Got off to a good start. What do you think was behind that?
Our defense is better. You know, that was our best defensive effort of the season. And, you know, we let go of the rope a little bit during the second quarter, which is how they got back in the game. But, I mean, it all starts on the defensive end, and we were better tonight.
Draymond, when you got yourself, Spellman and Paschal, kind of some bigger bodies there, do you think that is – do you like that group? Do you like – maybe a little more physicality, and do you think the younger guys are starting to play with a little more physicality?
I think so. You know, they're getting more and more comfortable, more experience, and, you know, they're learning how to be more physical. You know, when you're physical as a young guy, you rack up a lot of fouls. You know, they're learning how to do that without fouling, which is key for us. And I do like the lineup. You know, we're switching a little more, which, you know, keeping the ball out the paint, I think that was key tonight. You know, trying to keep the ball out the paint, and, you know, we did a better job of that. So, you know, I thought that lineup was pretty solid for us.
Draymond, you were saying the other night you got to have the right perspective. There are worse things in life than losing a basketball game. On a human level, though, what's it like seemingly every night, every other night, seeing another teammate go down with an injury?
It sucks. You know, I've said it before, you live that every day. You know, that injury don't go away when you walk off the floor. So, you know, it sucks to keep seeing guys go down, but, you know, we got that bug right now. So, you just got to keep fighting, do all you can to stay healthy. But, you know, sometimes it just happens.
In that second unit, it looks like you were definitely the initiator on offense. Is that a conscious effort on your part, on the coach's part, to kind of be the ball handler maybe a little more than the way the season started?
Yeah, I mean, coach, you know, coach and also Mike talked to me a lot about handling the ball more and, you know, trying to generate some more pace. And, you know, I think we had did a better job of that tonight. You know, so we'll see where it goes. Hopefully D-Lo's back, but if he's not, I'll have to handle it even more. But, I mean, I thought it worked pretty well for us tonight.
What do you
gave ourselves a chance to win the game and made some plays down the stretch. Some things that we can get better at and tighten up on, but overall I thought it was pretty solid for us.
What do you think the young guys maybe specifically can take away from a game like this? Good team comes into town. You guys are right there, have a chance to win late. doesn't win, but still, what can they take away from this?
Just, you know, the competitive level that you have to be at in order to compete in an NBA game. You know, that's a very good team we just played against, and we're right there with a chance. So, you know, hopefully we can continue to build up on that. You know, like I said before, our defense was a lot better, so if we can continue to build on that side of the ball, you know, the offense will happen. But it all starts on that side for us.
All right, Draymond Green there following the Warriors' loss to the Celtics tonight, 105-100. Speaking to the human element of just seeing another guy go down, and it looked like the Warriors may have a couple of guys go down. D'Angelo Russell winds up leaving the ball game. X-rays negative on that right thumb. MRI results to be announced likely at some point tomorrow.
Fingers crossed there.
And then Eric Paschal, something with his right hand where he had a big ice bag on it. Down there in the postgame press conference, he was getting tended to on the bench.
Physical game, kind of an ugly game tonight.
Yeah, he did come back into the game, but yeah, there's, you know, the Celtics, I think, play with an edge. I think they have the last few years, and the Warriors, you know, even the shorthanded group that they put out there, I think they found a little more grit, a little more hustle. Just, you know, with guys like Glenn Robinson, guys with like Kai Bowman, Eric Paschal playing with Draymond Green. There's a little bit of edge that all of those guys individually bring to the table collectively was on full display.
And you really can't be that type of team. I know the Warriors without Steph now especially, they want to be gritty. Of course they do. But you really can't be that unless you can stop somebody. And tonight they laid a little bit of a defensive foundation. It's a lot easier to be tough and gritty when you're actually imposing your will at all on the defensive end, which they haven't done this year.
What do you think the reason for that was tonight? Was it the lineup change? Was it how much they've been working on it? I mean, why do you think the Warriors were better defensively? Just a good matchup? Maybe the Celtics were having a bad night? I mean, what is it in your
they
mind?
They definitely had the starting lineup seemed to bring a lot more defensive energy than the previous starting lineup had been bringing without pointing any fingers. And I also think the Warriors, we know that they've been working very diligently in practice on defense to the point where Steve Kerr, I think, has said, we don't usually practice this hard, but with this group we have to. And I think they threw some different looks at the Celtics that caught them a little bit off guard, some traps and blitzes out in the open floor, things like that.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. We roll on here from Chase Center as the Warriors lose to the Celtics 105-100.
Warriors Wrap-Up continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason. Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. Warriors lose to the Seas tonight, 105-100. Golden State now 2-11. We're going to hear from Eric Paschal and have our call of the game coming up here momentarily. But, Whitey, let's get to it. Without further ado, it's Whitey's plus-minus here.
All right.
95.7 The Game. And why don't you explain to everybody what this all entails.
I got some positives, some negatives, and you know, every NBA player, there's a plus minus in the box score for them. That is how many points their team was ahead or behind when they were in there. It's plus minus. So the plus is in the minus. I present something I view as a positive or a negative, and you give us a value for
all
it.
Right. I'm
sometimes
ready to
I
roll.
Think this is a great positive, and you, cynical as you are, plus two.
Give me your biggest positive. What's
your
biggest positive?
The defense was so much better tonight with Boston shooting 40.7%. They came in as the number one rated team offensively in the NBA, and they shot 40.7%.
That's a plus 18.
Look, 18. That's got to be a record.
That's a plus 18.
Minus. Yeah.
Tonight. That was there were legitimate, tangible signs of a baseline for the Warriors to actually find a couple of collective five-man units that could defend,
yeah,
including that new-look starting lineup that I threw out jokingly about 2 weeks ago that I wanted to see it.
That was my next one, that quick start from the new lineup. They got off to that 32-23 lead after one. At one point, the Warriors led by 15. The new lineup got them off to a very quick start.
That's a plus 30.
Wow. This is tremendous.
That's a plus 30. I'm giving them 2 points for each of the Warriors'
nice.
Largest lead. The
yeah.
Warriors led by as many as 15. I'm doubling that. It's
wow.
plus 30.
How about Steve Kerr winning a challenge tonight?
That's a plus 10. Steve Kerr's pretty good at challenges.
Was it Jaylen Brown against Pascal, and he kind of did a step through and he stumbled and they called
and
a foul?
And he avoided the contact.
Yeah.
And clearly avoided the contact. It was one of those where we look up at the review and we're like, well, that's a heck of a challenge. I think overall, I'd have to look. I know there was a challenge that Steve Kerr technically won, but they didn't get the outcome that they wanted because the whole play was reviewed. This was going back a couple of
games.
There was one that they lost, but they kind of got the benefit of it, even though it was technically a lost challenge.
Right.
So I don't know the exact challenge numbers. We'll have to look that up and maybe talk about that tomorrow on Warriors This Week. But I think so far, Steve Kerr's a pretty good challenger.
Better than John Gruden. Right?
John Gruden just throws the angry challenge.
He just gets mad. That can't be right.
I don't like that
I'm going to challenge that. That can't be right.
I don't like that.
Rebounding. The Warriors out-rebounded the Celtics tonight 55-47.
That's an even.
Even.
A zero.
All right.
That's
one more. The Warriors got the line. The Warriors got to the foul line 34 times tonight. They were 27-34. That was one of the keys to the fact that they almost won this thing. 27 free throws in 34 attempts, got to the line 34 times tonight.
That's a plus 8.
Wow.
I'm going to make it a plus 9.
Wow.
And the reason I'm going to make it a plus 9 is because it's 1 point for each for each point that the Warriors had an advantage in terms of free throws made over the Celtics tonight. So they had a 9-point advantage that gets the honest to goodness, plus 9.
In the storied history of plus minus, I think this is the highest total I've ever amassed tonight.
Like I said, if you take a good team down to the wire and have a chance to beat them, and they're sweating it out, given as shorthanded as the Warriors have been, that you're walking.
Right.
I'm viewing that as a positive night.
I don't want to ruin the moment here, so I've just got one negative. Boston took the lead on a bust out off of a jump ball. Remember that? There was a disputed play at the baseline. Marcus Smart, I think, initially was ruled out of bounds, and they reviewed it and ruled, okay, he was not out of bounds, so we got to jump it up. And they scored off a play off the jump ball. And I believe that's two straight games in which the Warriors have given up a dunk off of a jump ball.
Yeah,
because I think the Lakers scored off the opening tip in the last game. Two games in a row giving up a dunk off a jump ball. That's no bueno.
That's a minus 18.
Yeah, that's not good at this level.
At this level. That's
Harry High School stuff.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. But a minus 18, but overall I think a lot of pluses tonight.
Oh, yes,
on the Whitey plus minus scale. Now, do you actually add up the total? Do you get an aggregate?
I have people
plus
that
minus?
Do that. I have an analytics department, and they do that.
And so
they get,
we'll have that number for you maybe about 10:30 tomorrow.
Okay,
definitely. On Warriors This Week coming up in about 10 and a half hours.
By the way, the true plus minus tonight, or the raw plus minus, Marcus Smart was plus 11. He had the highest plus minus in the ballgame. He was very good. And the minus, the lowest plus minus, Pascal was minus 19 tonight, oddly.
Sometimes it's just your better players that have to be out there.
Right.
And in big moments, you wind up losing. But, the Warriors actually did extend when he went out with the two fouls, and Burks came in for him. So it was like the lineup that really got the Warriors going was Russell with Robinson and Burks and Draymond and Cauley-Stein.
Yeah.
Let's get to our call of the game.
It's time for the call of the game. Brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile.
Bowman and a big offensive rebound put back a moment ago. Gets a screen from Cauley-Stein, lost the ball. Cauley-Stein tipped it in. It went up in the air wide of the basket to the right, and Cauley-Stein climbed the ladder and tipped it in with his right hand. Wow.
Wow.
That was
indeed
a strange play.
That was a strange
play. That was unbelievable.
Play, but it was a hell of a play.
Yes.
And it winds up, it was in a lot of ways the play of the night, and it is our call of the game here on 95.7 The Game. Make sure to tune in tomorrow, 9:30, Warriors This Week, another promo for that. 9:30 tomorrow, we will run that back, and we will ask you for the call of the game. If you can correctly identify the call we just played, you win $50 to Schroeder's Restaurant at 240 Front Street in San Francisco. The call of the game is brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile, the best deal in wireless.
I can't wait. And you were serious, right? We're really on tomorrow morning.
We really are on.
Okay,
We really are on tomorrow morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just, I did that. This is not, I'm not bleeping with you. Whitey.
Do you have a dirty work dub of the game? Because I have one.
All right, I'm going to let you go first tonight.
All right, I'm going to go with Omari Spellman. Played only played 11 and a half minutes, but he had 8 points and 8 rebounds. Omari Spellman with 8 points and 8 and 8 night in 11 minutes. My dirty work dub of the game.
I'm going to go with Kai Bowman. I'm going to go with Kai Bowman.
You just can't bring yourself to give it to Willie Cauley-Stein, can you?
Willie Cauley-Stein had a decent game tonight, but I wouldn't call him my dirty work dub. I think Kai Bowman brings an infectious edge, a spark, a little bit.
He brings a football mentality.
He brings a little bit of nasty to the
game.
Yes,
he does.
A point guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times you think of nasty guys, you do think of bigs. Or, you do think of bruisers.
Yeah.
But, no, it's...
He had the putback that gave him the lead as a point guard. It was incredible.
Yeah, he gets the rebound. He puts it back. There's just a tenacity that he plays with that I like. And who knows ultimately what kind of a player he is in the NBA, but I like what he brings to the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't disagree. Yeah, two very worthy dirty work dubs of the game tonight.
All right, we promised everybody Eric Paschal, but... Since we're going to be back on at 9, we'll roll some Eric Paschal in the morning.
Yeah,
and Eric Paschal wound up being fine with the hand. X-rays were negative, and he had the ice bag on it and everything after the ball game, so he's good to go. We'll have an update on D'Angelo Russell in the morning as well. That's going to do it for us, for Alex Scott, and Tim Jordan, and Lucas Alexander, and Whitey Gleason. I'm John Dickinson. That's it for us. I'll be back with you with Whitey in 9 hours and 6 minutes from right now. Warriors lose to the Celtics 105-100. You heard it here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.